Luke chapter 2, we're talking about a season of wonder. This is a season of wonder that we are finding ourselves in. And today's message had to do with, for the Advent, the third Sunday of Advent, had to do with joy. Now, joy is an interesting thing. In the Hebrew word, there are several words for joy. There's simcha, which means happiness in the full sense. There's gila, which is a little bit more shallow. There is mitzah, which all has to do with ditza, D-I-T-Z-A. It actually has to do with dancing joy. Yeah. Dancing joy. When we had the children here, and we were singing a song, Miriam just started a little conga line with the kids, and it was just like they were demonstrating ditza. They were demonstrating joy that had to do with dancing. And then there is also hena. All of these words in the Hebrew language have to do with joy. And yet our world, when it comes to joy, I think sometimes they're just looking for happiness. They're looking for happiness. And in this season of wonder, the kind of joy that Christians have the ability to experience is different than happiness. You see, happiness kind of bubbles along the surface of our life, and it's dependent upon our circumstances. But joy is much deeper than that. Joy comes from a heart full of trust and faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy comes in it, that even in the midst of a circumstance that is difficult or bad or tragic or even a sense of grief or loss, joy still comes deep from within inside. Because joy is not dependent upon the circumstance, and joy is not just dependent upon this particular realm that we live in. And so we're looking in Luke chapter 2. It is the premier Christmas story from the Gospels. And as we look in chapter 2, we'll see that this season of wonder happens, and we can see examples of joy. And so in chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" So, first of all, let's look at the context of the story. We know from reading more about the story, in Luke chapter 1, we know some of the backstory about John the Baptist. We know from the story of the birth of Jesus that this was a very intense time. This was when we hear the angels talking about tidings of great joy, I want you to know that true Christian joy in this season of wonder can happen even when you've gone through a difficult circumstance. Even when you are currently shouldering a difficult circumstance. What do I mean by that? You could be shouldering a difficulty in a relationship, a difficulty in a job, a difficulty in finances, a difficulty in your health. You can be shouldering something that is burdensome to you, that is even sometimes painful to you. And yet in the middle of that, remember, happiness bubbles along the surface of our life, and it has to do with the circumstances. That's why it goes up and down. But joy comes deep, deep from inside. It comes deep from inside. That joy is the absolute trust we have, so that we, as the Apostle Paul could write in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So what happens is we as Christians can be in the midst of sorrow, that Christian joy can still come in that time. And it can come cross currents with what's going on in culture, what's going on in society. Now think about this. The children of Israel were under Roman domination, and I said this in the last 2 weeks. Then we had 400 years of silence. People were doubting, even saying, is God even listening to us? 400 years of no word from God. It was like God left the planet. And the children of Israel were thinking, wait, what's going on? Most theologians call this the 400 silent years. And we have, church, we have a dark time that they're living in. They are under Roman domination. They are spit upon. They are discriminated against because they're Jewish, because they're Hebrews. They are not fully accepted into society. Does it sound familiar with some of the stuff that we have going on in our world? Some of the racial tension that we have? These children of Israel were in that state. And in the middle of that, the angels come and announce something. I want you to know something. That at the word of God, joy can come into your heart.
Amen.
At the word of God. Notice what happened. They appear to the shepherds. The shepherds, I'm sure, even though they're living outside of town, they know what's going on inside of town. If you've ever been in a small town, you know that the farmer on the outside of town, he keeps an ear on what's going on in town. In fact, if you even think about Mount Kisco, I live outside of Mount Kisco, but I try to put my ear to the ground on what's happening. Why? Well, because I want to know when the next building that is ours comes available. I want to know what's happening in town. I want to know what the tenor, what's going on in town. So when I go and have coffee at Mimi's, or when I go last week, I had this amazing opportunity. I was going around, and what was I doing? I was just meeting people, saying hello. I went to the taco place. There's an amazing taco place in the alley over here. There's like an alley in between South Mosier, and I don't know what it's called, but it's amazing. Amazing tacos. And then I popped my head into the All Things English store. Is that what it's called? What is it?
The Hamlet,
something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's everything from the UK. Any kind of food you want, any kind of tea you want, it's all there. And I had a chance to talk to the employees. I keep my ear to the ground. These shepherds were like that. They probably kept their ear to the ground. They knew when Herod had all the babies killed. You don't think they did? I think they did. Because they heard the wailing of the mothers in great pain and sorrow. You think about all the babies that were killed because of what Herod said. Think about that just for a second. When I hear of a child dying, it's gut-wrenching to me. In my hometown, the young man that was riding his bicycle that was brutally killed just in the last 2 weeks, It just, like, I know exactly where he was riding his bike because I used to ride my bike there too. And it just kind of twists you on the inside. I want you to know that joy in this season of wonder can come and be announced even in the midst of great tragedy. Even when you are dealing with difficult things in your life, joy can come in the midst of sorrow. Joy can come as an announcement of a promise. Now, notice what happens in this story. Go back to Luke 2. Notice what happens, and it says, "And the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid,'" verse 10, "'for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" He didn't say just joy. He said great joy, "which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior. He's announcing a promise of God. Woo! The 400 years is no longer silent. God's talking.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think God's talking right now to a lot of believers. There is a shaking. It's a good kind of shaking. There is a rumbling. You know, I talked to you last week about, you know, and we ended up just praying for people, and it was just an amazing service about, you know, we are those instruments of revival. Again this morning, our host church has a 6 or 6:30 in the morning service here before us. And I ended up talking to the pastor right back there where Sister Sonia is, and I'm talking to him, and we started talking, and you could just sense God. And he says, "Oh yeah, we're praying, and we're believing that we're stepping in to revival, and that we are the carriers of revival." And I said, "Dear Lord, that's what I've been saying. That's what my friends who are, nobody knows each other. It's God speaking to his people in the middle of difficulty. We're in the middle of a pandemic, for pity's sake. They're still talking about all this other stuff that's going on. But fear not. Because I'm telling you, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming back, and it's time for us to take the promise of God, step out and find out. Go into your community, meet people, say hello, love on people. Just love them. They don't look like you, love on them. They don't sound like you, they got weird tattoos, purple hair, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Jesus' love is going to cut through all of that. I am a firm believer that God loves every human being on the planet, even the ones that sometimes we don't like. Did you hear me? Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know. We all have our own. Well, how do we talk? Right? Would you want to be around you if you were one of the people that we categorize all the time? We've got to love people right where they are. God loves people no matter what. He loves them. And he's wanting us to reach out with that same kind of love. That same kind of love doesn't leave you the same. It changes you. As I heard one minister say, God loves you so much, he will love the hell off of you. Do you hear me? And I'm not cursing. You know how, you know, hell is the curse of sin. And that kind of hell just gets over us. It's in our culture. It's in what the world believes is right. It's just there. And you run into it. And what happens is, we as believers, we want to run away from it. Get it away. And we want to fight it naturally. And God's saying, don't fight it naturally. Use the supernatural power of my love. And love. Hallelujah. You see, love is going to be, that's going to be our weapon of choice. That we love. That joy can come even in the middle of difficult circumstances. Joy can come in the middle of sorrow. Joy and the announcement of joy alone, just the mere promise, can produce joy inside of you. If you'll hear God, if you'll hear what the word of the Lord is saying, just the mere promise, it's going to be all right. My mentor and friend, he's in heaven now, Dr. Horace Ward. I worked for him for 5 years. He used to say, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right as long as we keep our eyes on Him. You see, we can get in fear, we can get in anger, we can get in worry, we can get in depression, we can get in anxiety, we can get in just taking our eyes off of what God's purpose for us is. You see, even the announcement of joy can produce happiness and joy in us. And this will be a sign to you, verse 12. You'll find the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And he came, and they came with haste. Now, I want you to see something in verse 15 and 16. This is important. When God speaks something to you, act on it. Act on it. Now, you might not have the heavens open and a choir of angels singing to you, but God may be dealing with you in the still small voice to do something in this Christmas season that would change somebody's life and destiny. Who needs to be invited to a Christmas service who might be just sitting home anyway and would love to be around people, but they've gotten themselves in their own little world that they can't seem to break out of, the depression, despair, or anxiety. I'm not minimizing it. It's real. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is we have the answer. What I am saying is when God speaks to us that there is an announcement of great joy, that we can, in this season of wonder, be those carriers of joy. Joy is deeper than happiness, right? And it said, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things that were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had seen as it was told them. They were rejoicing and glorifying God because they saw the promise. They heard the announcement. They acted on it. Yes, joy has a faith element. Last week was faith. Joy has a faith element because you don't always feel joyful. Because remember, feeling and happiness is based on what? Happenings. Happiness is based on happenings in your life. You got a raise, right? Somebody handed you a gospel handshake. And if you don't know what one of those is, just start, ask somebody. They'll probably tell you. Gospel handshake's when somebody hands you money when they shake your hand. That's a gospel handshake. And they're timely. You know, Pastor Christine was telling you that personal time. We had actually just scraped up, and somebody had given us air tickets and given us hotel points to go to a conference during that period of time that was very difficult financially for us. And during one of the messages, there was a great rejoicing going on in the worship service, a great rejoicing. And my oldest daughter, people were running. If you've never seen people run the aisle, you know, people talk about Pentecostals. Listen, it's okay. I am one. Okay. And sometimes people get extreme. I get it. And they can go overboard in things. But you know what? There's a real move of God that can be very exuberant. And if you think heaven's a quiet place, it's not going to be. Read the book of Revelation. It's going to be a wild, wild, loud, loud party, all glorifying God. And we were in this service, people started rejoicing, and people were running. I mean, running. Now, it's a 4,000-seat auditorium. People were running around the aisles. Ushers were directing traffic, go this way. Yeah, I'm talking about groups of people running and rejoicing. Yeah. And so my oldest daughter, at the time she was in high school, I think, She tugged at me and she said, I want to run. Listen, if your kid is responding to God, you might not feel it. But if you will listen, you watch what God does. So I said, oh, okay. I said, I'll run with you. So I just went, I just figured I'm going to rejoice. You know, sometimes you start off naturally. You start off naturally and your spirit catches up. The more I ran, the more happy and glorifying God I got. So now I'm running with her, hand in hand. We're running around this building. And all of a sudden, I don't know who it was. To this day, I don't know who it was. Somebody stopped me and they gave me a gospel handshake. I looked in my hand. I had a $100 bill in my hand. I thought, dear Lord, glory to God. We needed that. We needed that to pay for like a couple meals. I was, glory to God. Right? And I was rejoicing. You see, joy is a sign and a wonder too to the world. They look at you. They know what's going on around. And they wonder, why are you so happy? Say, it's not just happiness, it's joy. It's not just happiness, it's joy. And see, it is by faith. The world's looking for happiness. They think that's what they're chasing. Because everything they're chasing is shallow. What they're really needing is joy. Go back to that verse that says what the angel said to them. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, verse 10, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which will be to all people. All people. All people. All people. All people. That means everybody. That means everybody. And when we understand the season of wonder that we're in right now, it's not just because it's the Christmas season. I believe we're in a season of wonder because Jesus is wanting to come back. And we've got some things to do. One of the members of Fraternidad Cristiana was getting in their car this morning as I drove up. And they were unloading things and cleaning and vacuuming. And he knows me. He's helped us out with our sound system before. And he looked at me and goes, Pastor, isn't it wonderful? And I said, what's that? And he said, isn't it wonderful that one church is going and another church is coming in to keep worshiping God? And I said, yes, William, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Why? Because the world is watching. They're watching us. They're watching you on your workplace. Your family members are watching you. They're watching your response. Is it from joy that you respond, or is it from happiness? I want to submit to you that during this season of wonder, that you would respond from that deep, heartfelt joy. And yes, you're going to have some of those Hebrew words like gila and ditza. You're going to have those moments where you are just in that moment and you will rejoice. Rejoice. You know, some of you walk in with burdens, and as pastor, and it's because of what I do and the calling, not just because of what I do, it's because of the calling that is on me, because of the office that I stand in. And I don't mean an office like with a door. I'm talking about a spiritual office that I stand in, that I see you walk in sometimes on Sundays, and I can see the burdens. I can't know what they are, but I can feel them, I can sense them. And when you come in with those, I can also sense when you've left them at the door. Or, by the end of the service, that you left them at the feet of Jesus. Because great joy is much deeper than the happiness that bubbles along the top of our lives. Joy comes deep from within inside so that we can rejoice. I'm reminded of there's a young woman in the South Pacific area of the world. And she went to she and her husband were pastors. And she they were planning. They were pastoring a church, a small church, probably not much different than ours. And they were pastoring this church in the South Pacific. Now, these are islanders, South Pacific islanders. And they ended up getting invited to come to this special conference on how to start more churches. And the husband and the wife were so excited about this. They saved their money and they were getting ready to go. Unfortunately, he died unexpectedly from a tragic accident. So about 6 weeks after he died, the wife decides to go to the church planting conference anyway. And as she was in this conference, the people who were running the conference, they didn't know her. They didn't know her backstory. But they noticed that she would be crying throughout all the sessions, just crying, crying, crying. So finally, one of the leaders of the conference came over and really found out and said, "Hey, we noticed you're crying. Are you okay?" She said, "What you see are tears of joy." Now, hear me on this. She said, "What you see are tears of joy and of sorrow." She said, "The joy is my husband would have loved this. And the excitement of what I'm learning, how to spread the gospel. And I'm so happy." Now that's coming from a woman who's grieving a loss. And she said, "Yes, I miss my husband. So some of those tears are, I wish he was here to hear this. But my joy is deeper than that." Come on, church. My joy is coming deep from within my faith that I know God's going to take us through. And do you know that that woman went on to pioneer four more churches? And so now there's four churches that are spreading the message of joy. That is a wonder to the world. Because they say, "How could you do that? I don't understand. I don't get it." But God, deep from the inside, joy. You see, joy can come in the midst of sorrow and tragedy. Joy can come at the announcement of a promise. And joy can be exercised by faith, even when you don't feel it. Because that's how God works in our lives. And I'll never forget that moment of running with my teenage daughter in a Holy Ghost wild service where everybody was just having a rejoicing time in God. And that man grabbing me as I'm running. And you know what he said? I don't know who he was. To this day, I don't know who he was. He just said, "Keep running, brother. Keep running. Keep running, brother." Hallelujah. And I heard him say that. He wasn't running. He was one of the ones that was like waving people on. And he wasn't even an usher that I know of. But he grabbed me and I just felt somebody throw a $100 bill in my hand. And at that point, I didn't even know it was a $100 bill. I'm telling you, there is great power in rejoicing. There is great power in just digging deep on the inside in the middle of your circumstance. And know that joy is not based on your personal circumstance. Joy is so much deeper. You know, I'm reminded at this time of year, I love the movie Elf, for those of you that have heard. Our family, it's our family's favorite Christmas movie. And, you know, us. And I'm reminded of some of the favorite lines of Elf. "Smiling is my favorite." That's one of them. Smiling's my favorite. You know, I think we need to remind ourselves that we are people of joy. And yeah, it's hard to smile when you got a mask on, but you know, people see it in your eyes. They hear it in your tone. They hear it in the tone of speech. And even in sales, that's one of the things we have to be with masks on. I'm telling you right now, my customers know if I'm smiling. They know when I'm not happy, that what I'm trying to tell them is not really what they want to hear. And it's interesting. If we would smile, I'm telling you, our eyes would communicate. Our eyes, heart to heart. I challenge you this week to go be an instrument of joy. I challenge you to be that wonder. We're in a season of wonder. Be the wonder for somebody else. Be the wonder. Boy, I wonder what makes them so happy. Be the wonder for somebody else. Yeah, somebody might say something bad about you. Listen, you know, it happens. Stuff happens. Life happens. And it's not always fun. But in the middle of that, in the middle of great sorrow, joy is much deeper than that. And I challenge each one of you to be instruments of joy during this season of wonder. Go into the town. Go into the places that are near where you live, or because we're here, do Pastor a solid, do me a favor. Go into this town and just be light. Go into this town, be light. Invite people that you know. I ended up inviting one of the owners of the Hamlet to church. You know what I found out? You know what I found out? I found out that he and his family just moved here and they might be looking for a church. That's what I found out. Why? Because I talked to people. You go and you talk to people. You're a blessing to people. When we were at Nini's Cafe for our night of Christmas celebration, just talking to the baristas and to the people behind the counter, and just, what am I doing? I'm being light. I'm being light. I actually, when I was, I came back on for another situation. I came back in town and I went in to Mimi's to go get a coffee. And I just went ahead and got a coffee and say hello to Mimi, drop some things off or whatever. And I saw one of the baristas again. And I said, here, I want to give you this. You know what I pulled out of my pocket? I pulled out this little card. We spent money printing these to give you as tools. And it says, you're invited, Westchester Family Church. It's blank on the back. You can put your name and your phone number if you want. They're on the back table there. This is the time that you reach out. You're invited. Hey, we got things for kids and youth. You're invited. Hey, I'd love to see you there. Hey, we're having a Christmas service. Next week's a Christmas service. We'd love to see you there. People that you live in the same apartment complex with. People you say, well, they'll never drive to church. They're going to say no. Brother Colin, what is it we say? Every no is?
Closer to a yes.
Every no is closer to a yes. You know, for years, and I'm going to pick on him now, and he didn't give me permission, so I'll have to get talked to later. I believe it was a silver-haired gentleman that is sitting on my right and your left, that his wife used to invite him to church, and I think often he would tell her no, or I'm busy, or something else. I don't know. Good man. A good man, a good father, right? But for years, said no. And then one Sunday, she came to our church. And right back there, right near that door, on that side of the church. Am I right, Marilyn? I said, let's just agree in prayer. Let's just agree that God would move on your husband's heart and that he'll come to our church. Well, that prayer has resulted in the last 15 years in a beautiful friendship.
Amen.
That Ron and I have enjoyed, because he came the next week. Yes. The very next week. And he'll tell you, I just never stopped coming. He goes, you're going to have to get rid of me. Let me tell you, that's those kind of moments are the kind of moments that I'm believing God are going to happen more and more at this church. More and more that when we pray for people, they're healed. More and more, when we pray for people, they're restored. More and more, why? Because we are instruments of revival. Yesterday there was a young autistic young man, little boy, who came in here, and when he came in, he was so excited to come in, and he was all over the place. Wasn't he, Sister Sonia? He was all over. But by the end, there was a calmness. There was a sweetness about him as he walked out of here. And it was because of God's people. It was because of joy. Your assignment this week is to be that instrument of joy in this season of wonder. Who is it that you're going to invite? There's somebody. You say, Pastor, I've tried. Every no's closer to a yes. And you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. You don't know what's going to happen that's going to change their life. Because they hear something. It's not just hearing words. The Apostle Paul said this, and he said, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of God. When we exemplify the joy and the power of God, that cuts through every intellectual argument, every stronghold in somebody's life that keeps them saying no, and one day they will say yes, and they will say yes to him, because this was a message of joy for all people. And that means even those that you're believing God for. Hey, I've got family members. I'm believing God for a turnaround. I've got people that I'm praying for. I'm believing God for a breakthrough. I've got coworkers that I talk to about the things of God, and I'm believing that I'm going to be an instrument of joy in this season of wonder. How about you? Will you join me in that? That you will be an instrument of joy in this season of wonder. Can you commit to that today? Say, I will be an instrument of joy in this season of wonder. You see, when you understand you bring revival with you, when you step out in faith and you don't feel anything and you say, can I pray for you? And then all of a sudden God just shows up and says, I'm here. I'm ready to help you. See, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. Revival's not something that's going to come right here and take us all over and make us do something that we didn't want to do. No, revival is when we talk about the things of God, when we say he's coming again, the Lord is coming again. We're not hearing that as much as we ought. He's coming again, church. He's coming again. Just like he came the first time and it was in the middle of a dark time, he's going to come again. And I don't know that everybody is really that keen on ready. But I believe that what's happening in the churches right now, we're hearing a rumbling. And it's going on with youth. It's going on with adults. It's going on with some of our seniors. People are coming back to God. We're seeing prodigals return. I'm telling you right now, revival is here. It is time to step into it and be that instrument of joy. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to be that instrument of joy. God, that we would be bold enough to actually invite somebody to church or just offer to pray with them, offer to bring them a meal. Father, I pray that we would be vulnerable enough, real enough with people, that even in the midst of our own difficulty, we would talk about your goodness. We would talk about your victory. We would talk about how you brought us through time and time and time again. Father, that you would, that our first response would not be one of just happiness based on circumstance, but our first response would be one of rejoicing, would be one of rejoicing to prove your goodness to those around us. Father, that in this season of wonder, open up doors. Father, you have been speaking to our hearts to open our mouths with boldness. Father, that as we step out, we will see miracles. We'll see miracles in the workplace. We'll see miracles in the schoolhouse. We'll see miracles at a bus stop or on a public transportation. We'll see miracles in the street, in the grocery store. We'll see miracles in our family. We'll see the lost come to know Christ. We'll see the backslider and the prodigals come home. And we will see revival because we will be carriers of your goodness and of this great joy. Father, thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ or you're watching online, I want to encourage you. It's real simple to come to know Christ. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he died for your sins. He was raised from the dead. Accept that forgiveness. The Bible says you will be saved as you confess him as your Lord. And so right now, we're just going to pray a simple prayer. And if you would pray it out loud with me, those that are here that have already come to know Christ, and those that are online, if you want to pray this prayer, you're watching this recorded at a later date, just pray this and mean this with all your heart. Say, Father God,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I ask
that you would forgive me of my sins.
I receive you,
Jesus. I receive that forgiveness.
I believe in my heart that Jesus
is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised to life, and I receive him. I call him my Lord and my Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's close with our sending out verse right now. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you.